and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 485. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello. It's Shiro.
You are listening to us on KOOP, HD1, HD3, Hornsby, and as always, we are streaming this at KOOP.org. Ugh, I can't speak English. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
Remember back in 84, I went to open up...
It is Wednesday, October 3rd. On the show today, we have the Barons Men and their production of Henry the Fourth, Part 2. We have Zach... Part 1, excuse me, it's written wrong. And we have Zach Theater here in their production of Once. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Albuquerque, and Amsterdam. Don't go away. Guys, your microphones are on, so we all heard that, for God's sakes. Robert Stevens has a look like, you just shamed me on the air, which I did.
I have no shame, Lisa. Yeah. You know that.
This is what I know. Nicole Shiro, thanks again for taking over for us last week. You did a boffo job, as they say.
Oh, well, thank you. I had a lot of fun. There was too much to talk about. We didn't have enough time.
No, we're going to experience that today as well. So we're going to try to not get too bogged down into any one thing. I also like to thank Kim Simpson for a wonderful, wonderful international folk bazaar.
Yes, I love the Finnish mushroom song today.
I do. And every time I have mushrooms... I finished them. This is true. Okay, let's introduce who's here with us. We have Chris Casey here. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
We have Katie Thompson.
Hello.
We have the indomitable Robert Stevens.
Hello.
And then we have Olivia Nice.
Hello.
And Corbin Mayer. Hello.
Hello.
I just said it for you. Hello.
Hello.
So here's the first thing that we need to talk about. It is... 1:03 by our clock here. In approximately 13 minutes, we will be interrupted by this presidential tweet thing that's going to happen on our emergency alert system. So
aren't you excited that we're all experiencing it together?
Exactly. Yes. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this right now, but just so our audience knows and our guests know, that system comes on the air without any delay, and we are speaking to you on a 40-second delay. So there may be some wackiness that happens around that. So just know that that's going to happen. When it does happen on our end, we're just going to stop talking and play some music. What do you think of that?
I think that sounds great.
Okay. So with that in mind, I just want to remind folks, first of all, let me just say this one little thing. I just want to remind everybody that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and On the Air are not that of the staff, the board of directors of Co-op, but simply the opinions of those of us on this show. And again, I didn't really need to say that before this statement, but guys, you have to register to vote.
Yes.
You,
TikTok, know, TikTok.
It's. I think it's a pretty important thing that we do, and it is your civic duty. Texas has, and this really isn't theater related, but I think as we were talking about before we went on the air, theater is activism, mm-hmm. or as what do you like to call it?
Artivism.
So Texas is ranked 50th out of 50 states in voter activism.
Active voters.
I mean, whatever. Not voter registration, but participation.
Participation. Okay.
I'd like us to try to get up to, like, you know, maybe 40th?
There you go. Don't
dream
don't,
big. Go for 30.
Don't overreach.
Anyway, so
dream big.
You've just got a few more days to register to vote, and I think voting is very, very, very important.
But you should
important.
Also, even if you are registered, check to make sure you are still registered.
Yeah.
There are people finding that they have fallen off the registration thinking, oh, I'm registered, don't worry about it. So there's two aspects to that.
Absolutely. So the other thing that just dawned on me when I was talking and thinking about this this alert that's coming up over us, it just dawned on me, and this took me 6 years to do this. We do this show on Wednesdays at Tracy Schultz is in the house taking a picture of a telephone.
The phone.
which we find kind of interesting. Our show airs at 1 o'clock.
It's very meta. He's using his phone to take a picture of
a
phone.
Take a picture of the phone. An old
I know
phone
what he's
with
doing.
A cord.
He's taking a picture of the caller ID for the number that's on it. So, so here's the deal. Here's a test. See how smart everybody is here. It's a math test, which is what we do here on theater.
I was told there would be no tests.
There's a test, Robert. We air this show at 1 p.m. Central Time. What time is that in New York City?
2 p.m.
What happens at 2 p.m. in New York City in the Times Square area on Wednesdays?
A matinee.
It's matinee days. So I just realized that our show happens exactly at matinee time. I didn't realize that till
you
just now.
You never realized that?
No, just now. I'm stupid. and to keep this going on,
oh my gosh.
Today is Mean Girls Day.
What day is it?
It's
October 3rd.
So you're being mean to yourself.
I don't know what that means. So what's October 3rd?
Oh, in the movie, Katie Heron, she's in math class actually, and she turns to the cute guy whose name is escaping me, and she says, "On October 3rd, I asked him what day it was." He turns to her and says, "It's October 3rd." Special day.
Go. Mean Girls. So it's Mean Girls Day today, and the brilliant PR and marketing in this for Mean Girls the musical, because it's huge in New York right now.
Huge.
Mean Girls Day.
Well, yeah.
I don't. I've never heard of it before.
Well, they're gonna have a great matinee.
They'll have a great.
And everybody's wearing pink, so there's something pink in Wednesdays.
Yeah, Wednesdays we wear pink.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Wednesdays is pink, and it's also Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so there's a lot of pink
That's
going
true,
on.
Lots
You're
of
even
pink.
Gonna see it out on the field at the NFL.
We like pink. Do you suppose Pink performs wearing pink?
Yes, anybody? She does. She All likes right. to. She even sports the pink hair.
There you go.
Pink's not afraid. She climbs down buildings and sings. She goes for it.
There you go. So it's getting into that season where just everything is opening. And we've had several openings this week, and one of which was Bernhardt Hamlet, which sounds fascinating. So Bernhardt Hamlet is a show that opened, I don't know what theater is that at, some theater in New York. And I'll tell you the description of it. So, and it starts out with a Mark Twain quote. "There are five kinds of actresses: bad actresses, fair actresses, good actresses, great actresses, and then there's Sarah Bernhardt." And so in 1897, Sarah Bernhardt went out to tackle her most ambitious role yet, Hamlet. And this is a Teresa Rebeck play that talks about, it's a comedy talking about her production of Hamlet. It's a very meta, it's a play within a play. Got great notices in the New York Times, specifically for the woman that plays Bernhardt, and Janet McTeer.
I was like, McTeer.
Yeah. And it also had starring in it, guest of our show and good friend of Nick Mayo, Nick Westrate. Nick's been on our show a few times.
Yeah, and Nick, we talked a little bit about this last week, and Nick was texting in. I was like, Nick, why aren't you calling? But he went, and he said he would go again and again and again. He just had a great time. Of course, because he was
Nick
at
Mayo.
The opening. Why Nick. Isn't Nick Mayo? He's at every opening.
Yeah.
It's Nick Mayo.
Yeah, so Jesse Green said this. Oh, it was opened at the American Airlines Theater last Tuesday. Oh, yesterday. Oh, my God.
No, it was last Tuesday.
Oh, so did y'all talk about this last week?
Mm-hmm.
Then never mind.
A little bit.
Never mind. I'm a week late. Here.
Wait, but you... I said we probably would talk about it again because I thought you would be excited about it. And
well,
I am excited,
but I don't have any news that you probably didn't go through already. And I didn't listen to last week's show. Shame on me. Anyway,
well, you can't do everything.
I could. So one of the other shows that opened, let's just jump ahead because we is The Nap.
I did not talk about The Nap.
No, you didn't because it hadn't opened
I
yet.
I know.
Does anybody know what The Nap refers to? Has anybody heard of this show?
It's what I like to do during the day.
I was just about to say, it's what I like to do.
But you'd be wrong. Stage combat, it's the sound you make when you hit somebody.
There you go. It's about snooker.
The game?
Yep.
Really?
And Nap refers to the nap of the felt that deals with the way the snooker ball is going.
I'm sorry, what is snooker?
Well, hold on. Raise your hand if you've played snooker.
I've never played it.
Only me.
I've seen
but
it.
I know
I've
what
seen
it is.
It
no one
played.
Has raised
it.
I played snooker. Snooker is the Great Britain cousin of pool, billiards, or pool or billiards.
Yeah, billiards.
Yeah,
that's
it's
right.
Got a bigger table, and the balls don't have numbers on them. They're red and green balls. And that's the only thing I remember. All I remember is I was terrible about this. But let's read the synopsis of The Nap, shall we? Dylan Spokes, a fast-rising young star for championship tournament, only to be confronted with the authorities warning him of the repercussion of match-fixing. Before he knows it, Dylan's forced into underhanded dealings with a cast of wildly colorful characters that include his ex-convict dad, saucy mum, quick-tongued manager, and a renowned gangster to boot. And it's they call it a fast-paced comedy thrill. And it actually sounds really, really interesting. And it got pretty good notices in the Times.
There's someone good in it?
There's several people good in it.
That, like, notable. I shouldn't say good in it. Well, probably all good in it. That was really, really not nice. But is it someone...
Well, Alexander, we go,
mean,
Alexander
mean
Billings...
Mean Girls Day.
Alexander Billings is in it. I think she's probably the most well-known. It's Alexander Billings, John East, Ellison Conley, Johanna Day, Ahmed I. El-Sayed, Ethan Hova, Heather Lind. She's relatively well-known. Max mm-hmm. Gordon Moore, Bhavlish Patel, Thomas J. Ryan, and Ben Schnitzer.
Ooh, that's
there's
a great
name.
Schnitzer. I love it.
Alexandra Billings is making her Broadway debut. People may know her from seeing her on what's the Amazon show about the trans
Transparent.
Yes, Transparent. She was on Transparent, and she's a Chicago native, and I actually knew her back when she lived in Chicago. She's actually this. She got great notices, and it's her Broadway debut. This is a Manhattan Theater Club production, directed by Daniel Sullivan, and it was written by Richard Bean, who also wrote One Man, Two Governors, amongst other things.
I was like, he's the One Man, Two Governors, man.
So this is this show, it says, is administered by a team of master farcisers. Farceurs. People that do farce.
Farcists.
I'm proud to say I'm a farcist.
Are they neo-farcists?
They're exto-farcists. So they frisk you into a state of sustained laughter, as involuntary and contented as the purr of a kitten at play.
I like that.
Yeah, anyway. So here's a photograph
snooker.
Of snooker. Looks a lot like pool.
Aww.
Here, I'll let the listening audience see.
Oh, and I love the nap on that table.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about with that nap.
Yeah. So Alexandra Billings plays, I love the description of her character, an expensively dressed, one-armed transgender person named Waxy Bush. That's it. Oh, you know what? I did not get the pun until right now, so we're gonna skip right over that.
That must have been a very specific casting call.
There's actually Alexandra has both limbs. I'm sure. I believe that was probably done with costumes and makeup, but there are plenty of transgender performers around to take on that role. They said of her, Miss Billings, a marvel of glamorous menace, delivers such mangling with a smooth, sinister confidence that keeps the others from laughing. Not us, though.
Ah.
So everybody's laughing. Some of the other critics said, Adam Feldman in Time Out New York said, a sprinkling of cute one-liners and two live snooker sequences in the second act with improvised commentary provides moments of relief from the forced plotting and even more forced romance. So he didn't like it all that much.
That's very opposite of what was the other write up. Interesting.
Yeah. So this was the mixed reviews for the Nap, but it looks interesting.
Now my question is: are they really playing that game snooker?
Yes.
On stage.
On stage.
So you have to be very good at that game.
The actually, I believe the one of the actors is indeed a snooker champion.
Really?
Oh. Yes.
I just like saying
special
snooker.
Skills section. See that down there.
You know, it's funny. I just love expert so snookist. As a director. The first thing I look at in a resume is the special skills section.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Because, well, no, that's not true. I do go look at the salient things, but I always look at the special skills because that's the funnest part.
See, I don't have snooker on mine, but I do have Ken Belch at Will.
There you go.
And he's using it in the show.
Good. Well, because he's Sir Toby Belch.
Well.
Sir John Falstaff.
Oh, that's what I meant to say.
They are
Toby
rather...
Belch. Falstaff, is there really a difference?
They
about 50 pounds.
Toby Belch is Falstaff light. So.
That's true. Okay, so, and we're going to get to that. We'll hear all about it soon. The other thing that opened is The Girl from the North Country off Broadway.
Yes.
This is a show, it's written by, what's his name? The Irish guy, Connor McPherson, with music by somebody named Bob Dylan.
Who?
Bob Dylan.
You've never heard of him.
This is not a jukebox musical. Most of the songs you don't even recognize in Dylan unless you really think of it. It's a rather dark show. When you read the description or you see
because
the description
Dylan is so light.
He is.
Well,
he is. Well,
he
take
could
his
be.
Stuff.
He's understood his lyrics for, decades.
So this is about takes place in a guest house, and it says the owner, Nick, owes more money than he can ever repay. His wife, Elizabeth, is losing her mind with her daughter, Marianne, is carrying a child no one will account for when a preacher selling Bibles and a boxer looking for a comeback show up in the middle of the night. Things start to spiral beyond no return.
Interesting.
Dun, 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 dun.
This feel is feel good show of the year.
Well, actually, it has a feeling of like a Eugene O'Neill American drama.
Yeah.
But written by Connor McPherson.
Connor McPherson. Say it right.
So the reviews on this are pretty good. Not great. But this is more of a play with music than a musical. And yet, so most of the songs don't carry forth the plot. They're just, except a couple do. So it's weird. It's sort of a combination between...
Kind of sounds like Once, the musical.
I've not heard of that show. What's that about?
We'll get to it.
No, I would say that Once, it is, yeah, you're right. It does kind of sound like Once.
I remember reading about this. It reminded me kind of too of like Sideman. The music is mm-hmm. such an important part of the play, but it isn't the play.
Yep.
So.
What else was I going to... So we're going to take a little tiny itsy bitsy break right at this point, and we will come right back. And I'm just going to choose a fun little song to sing or to play here. Just so listen, we'll take a little break. We'll come right back.
Why do the wrong people travel when the right people stay? Back home, what compulsion compels them, and who the hell tells them to drag their cans to Zanzibar instead of staying quietly in Omaha? The Taj Mahal and the Grand Canal and the sunny...
We're just going to shut that down. We're having technical issues today, but we're back. If you didn't know, you're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello.
And a troop of other people. Hello, troop of other people.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. So anyway, at one point in this show, talking about Girl from the North Country, they sort of turn into Our Town. An omniscient narrator in the folksy tradition of the stage manager pops on stage and starts talking about stuff.
Interesting.
Seems interesting. That's it. All right, we're going to be... Okay, that was a fun little song. So it's good to be back from it. This is a very interesting show. We just bop back and forth to music. We can't really decide what we're doing. Anyway, we were talking about Joe Mastroff, who died. And then they, as I was saying before we took this quick little break, is that
they interviewed him.
And I just imagine that. Hey, we want to talk to you. You're 96 years old.
I mean, I think at 96, you're kind of like, yeah.
Well, that's
why
I did it too. Yeah.
So let's do it.
My guess is they didn't really say it was for the.
I guess it's kind of cool though, because like if you die and you don't die when you're 96, you don't get to write your own obituary, right?
Yeah, I mean, my grandmother's 94, driving the Ford Explorer, fully like protesting, and she talks about what she wants all the time. So, I mean, that doesn't...
So we'll interview her for the Offstage and On the Air obituary that we're going to give for
her.
We'll call
Mabel. She'll be on it.
I can't help but wonder why they waited that long.
It's true. One might guess that it was a multifaceted interview and went every couple of years, starting around 85. So the other death was Merle Dubusky. Now, did you know who Merle Dubusky was?
Yes, we talked about Merle's death last week. As a publicist, how could I not know about Merle?
Why did I think it just happened this week? So then we won't spend a lot of time there, but I thought he had a very interesting life. He was 95. And he worked most notably with the Public Theater. Mm-hmm. And he was the one, did y'all talk about the fact that he was the one that made it free? He insisted on...
We talked about his relationship with Pap. I don't think so. I talked a lot more about him and At Pam and publicity unions and all the different kind of stuff like that.
One of his notable things that he did, he worked with Joe Papp in the Public Theater, and the city tried to talk Joe Papp into charging for Shakespeare in the Park back in the 60s. And
Merle said,
it was Merle that said, no, don't do it.
No.
All right, we're running completely out of time. Here's what we're going to do. I do want to mention Song and Dance real quick, that we saw this in Michael Riedel's column. Do you want to talk about that?
Okay. I love the song and the dance. Katrina Link. Looks like the rumor is Katrina Link's going to do it. It's very interesting. Whole first act is all song. One actress, it's an English woman telling about her trials and tribulations with this Sheldon Bloom, then moving on to another man between New York and Hollywood. The whole second act is danced. When Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote it, he wrote it with his brother and he based it on some different concertos. And it is such an amazing piece. It's from the 80s. I originally starred Bernadette Peters and then went on to star Betty Buckley before it toured with Melissa Manchester. I kind of love me some song and dance. I got excited about that.
Awesome. Well, this came from a concert that Katrina Link did, singing some of the songs from Song and Dance. And it sounds like a very exciting thing. And that came up. And Michael Riedel oftentimes has the scoop on most things before most other people.
Yeah.
The other thing that I want folks that you can see it on our website, offstageonair.com. We don't have time to talk about it here, but there's a very interesting fight over... in San Francisco, the Harry Potter show and Evan Hansen, the Nederlanders are fighting with their arch rival. And it was really unfortunate because I wanted to do this and because this was a big,
I know
it was a big legal
thing.
So you'll have to just imagine. No, I'm not talking about last week. I'm talking about this right now. Then I also wanted to talk very briefly, and I guess we're going to take some time to do this because I do want to talk about this. And again, the admonition that we're making our own opinions and not the radio station still applies. Beto O'Rourke issued an apology for
the review
he wrote in college. And he said the only reason why some of these women had the roles is because they had large breasts. And he apologized for it because it was unfeeling and unthinking. And I think that's a good thing.
He's taking some heat for it, but I think it's a good thing. It was a review when he was at Columbia that he wrote for the musical Will Rogers Follies.
Right.
So you have to put into context what the show's about a little bit, too, in order to...
True. He doesn't deny the things he did in college. Mm-hmm. He takes responsibility for them and says at the same time, I was a college kid doing stupid things. I don't know. I think that's a good thing.
I was just talking about how stupid I was in college earlier.
Me too. All right. So let's take a little break. Let's listen to a little bit of Song and Dance. Hopefully it cues up properly. You made me think you were in love. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello, it's Shiro.
And we've been having lovely conversation with a group of people. We've been talking to Katie Thompson, Robert Stevens, Chris Casey, Olivia Nice. No, that's her fault. She told me to...
I started the wrong way with her, and it's not
and Corbin,
that way.
And Corbin Mayer. Now we're going to switch gears and talk to our good friends at the Barrensmen and talk about their show, Henry IV, Part 1. Yeah, you know, I had it as... I think one of the emails I originally got said Part 2, and then when I went on to do some research this morning, I saw it was Part 1. I changed it everywhere except the script in the very opening.
I was just about to say, you changed it everywhere, but one
You were
spot.
Just about to say the right thing.
Just one.
So, Katie, you're the director of this this piece.
Yes, I am.
Tell us about Henry IV, Part 1.
So for this show, I've actually never directed with the Barrensmen before, okay. But I was inspired for the show from one of our friends at the Barrensmen and friends of everybody that's here today, Casey Weed. He actually passed away last year, and he was basically the human embodiment of John Falstaff. Like, you have no idea. Total character, always wearing fluvlogs, always wearing, like, a ridiculous outfit. And just
now,
like,
I know what a fluvlog is, but yeah. Our listeners may not.
So, basically, he was very particular about his shoes. So, he wore wingtip shoes in exciting colors, the faux hawk. I mean, just a wonderful
person. Oh, faux hawk is what you said.
Well, no. For also, like, he would do his hair in, like, the faux hawk, and he was a large guy, so he was like Falstaff size. So just imagine a human being that literally is John Falstaff in real life today, and that's pretty much who he was. And so when I got the opportunity to do a show this fall, what I wanted to do was give a big thank you to Casey for working with us for 10 years. And so we decided to do the show.
Awesome. And what is the show about?
So the show is about, if you've seen Henry V, maybe, or maybe not, it's about Hal, Prince Hal, before he becomes Henry V, the greatest king of England, coming of age and talking. It specifically speaks to his having to choose between being a royal prince and going on to be a royal king, or his rounder relationship with Sir John Falstaff and the fun stuff that he does in his younger years, which ties into our Beto thing from earlier.
Yeah, hanging out with, speaking again of college years, hanging out with a bunch of drunks and ne'er-do-wells in Eastcheap, which is a rather seedy part of London and was back then.
Yep.
Like, awesome. I'm going to take a real quick tangent. We are going to randomly choose one of our legal IDs from our list of, I think, 50 of them. I don't know what our number is.
I think we're up to 50s. So,
whatever. Yeah. But here it is. Let's see what it happens when I push the magic random button.
This is Morgan Rover Reporter, New York Bureau, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air, KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
Morgan Rorgan Reporter.
Morgan, say our New York Bureau. She's so much older.
How old that particular piece is. How old is this? Is she now?
She's now in the seventh grade.
She's in the seventh grade.
Almost 12. And that...
That is Nicole's niece.
That one she recorded when she was doing her Matilda review. And Matilda opened.
Right.
So yeah, she's a lot older.
Wow. So let's talk about... Chris, what do you play in this?
I play Worcester.
Worcester.
He's kind of the little
I have, by the
figure.
Way, I have Worcestershire sauce in my house.
You're welcome. But yeah, he's kind of the little finger figure. Sort of, he incites Hotspur, who wants to overthrow King Henry. And I think he's also a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. Like, nothing the king says is good enough.
And by little finger, to what do you refer?
Oh, so in case y'all haven't heard, there's a show called Game of Thrones.
Heard of it. And Littlefinger is the smarmy little weaselly guy.
He is. He's
the schemer.
I think Worcester's not quite as smarmy. The whole Percy family has some anger issues. So Worcester's got a little more.
If you were named
Percy,
exactly. You would have anger issues too.
Yeah.
Robert, you are playing Falstaff.
I am playing Sir John
the staff
Falstaff.
Of beers, as they say.
Yes. So Sir John Falstaff, who probably at some time was a decent, sprightly young man, who has now, after years and years of drinking and dissolution, become a big fat man who gets by basically by either stealing purses or talking people into buying him drinks with his outrageous stories.
Awesome. Well, you guys are prepared to do a little scene, are you not? Or are you?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
You're not. You are.
I have a Falstaff monologue.
A Falstaff, an FM, as we say.
Yes.
So does it need any setup, or do you want to just jump right
into
it?
I'll give it a little setup.
Okay.
So it's right before all the fighting begins, and Falstaff corners Hal and says, hey, you know, would you kind of take care of me during the war? And Hal says, why, thou owest God a death. So okay. This is the following.
All right, so this is Robert Stevens doing a monologue from the Barons Men production of Henry IV, Part 1.
'Tis not due yet. I would be loath to pay him before his day. Why should I be so forward with him that calls not on me? Well, 'tis no matter. Honor pricks me on. Yea, but what if honor prick me off before I come on? Can honor set a leg? No. Can honor set an arm? No. Can honor mend the grief of a wound? No. Honor hath no skill at surgery, then? No. What is honor? A word? What's in that word, honor? What is that honor? Air, a dead reckoning. Who hath it? He that died a Wednesday. Doth he feel it? No. Doth he hear it? No. 'Tis insensible? Yea, to the dead. Well, but will it not live with the living? No. Why not? Detraction will not suffer it. Honor is a mere scutcheon, and therefore I'll none of it. Thus ends my catechism.
Scutcheon is a word that's so underused.
I would agree with
what
that.
What does scutcheon mean?
This is a challenge to all of you. It's ornament, basically.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Here's a challenge to all of you. Use it in your everyday life today at one point or another.
I plan to. I just did, by the way.
I was like, she just did.
So check. My job is done. Check that off. Exactly. So you guys are doing this over at Richard Garriott's Curtain Theater.
Correct.
Yes, we are.
We love that place.
Gorgeous place.
It's a gorgeous place.
So special.
Have y'all started performances yet?
So our performances actually start this Friday.
Yay. Mazel tov.
Yep. And then we have a date night on Saturday, and then we continue for the rest of October, running Friday and Saturday every week, and then Thursday through Saturday, the last 2 weeks in October.
And for those people that have not been out to the Curtain, can you just describe the theater and the grounds a little bit?
So imagine, if you will, a historic rendering of an actual Elizabethan-style theater that's on the shores of Lake Austin, so there's a nice breeze, and then imagine that you're watching theater that's Elizabethan theater in full costumes, Shakespeare in his original language, under torchlight in the most magnificent theater that you could think of, and it's in Austin.
And that you're being encouraged to act like an Elizabethan audience as well. So don't just sit there and look at us.
You could be a groundling.
Yell at us. throw vegetables if you want. However, be warned, I do throw them back.
So, but we don't have to just imagine that, do we?
No, you don't have to imagine it. Anyone that's listening to the show can choose to go to the Barons Men website, www.thebaronsmen.org, and you can find out more information about things such as our tavern tickets and any other tickets that we have.
It's a wonderful experience to go out there. And I know when you go out there and you see, just going out there to see anything is wonderful. But when you go out and see Shakespeare in that environment, it really is quite special.
When I tell people that we have a replica of an Elizabethan theater in the middle of Austin on a lake, they look at me and go, what? And I'm like, oh no, but we do.
No, this is real.
It's so special.
Almost nobody knows about it.
It's so special.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on Offstage and on the Air.
Thank you for having us.
I have really good feelings about your opening and your run.
It's perfect so weather right now.
Okay, so that was Katie Thompson, Robert Stevens, and Chris Casey of the Barons Men production of Henry IV, Part 1 at the Curtain Theater, October 5th through 27th. For more information, thebaronsmen.org. And let's listen to this. Maybe not. I'm having definite computer issues.
I was like,
issues.
Your computer does not want to do things for you today.
Another there we go.
Shall I punish it? Another flaming rough.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello, it's Nicole.
We just had a lovely discussion with Katie Thompson, Robert Stevens, and Chris Casey of the Barons Men. And now we're just going to talk a little bit of local stuff, and we're going to welcome back to the microphones Olivia Nice and Corbin Mayer.
Hello.
I pronounced it correctly, Olivia. Did
oh,
you notice
that? You did
that?
Really well. Thank you.
I wanted to say Nice. We had a big, long email conversation about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't involved.
Well, she sent me this thing, said it's pronounced, and she said in parentheses, something that looked like nice, and she said, pronounced like the city in France. And I wrote her back saying, you pronounce the city in France, Nice, like my niece.
And I said, yeah, you're right. Ignore what I said. I whatever. And then it went back and forth. And I'm like, I'm so glad this is what I'm emailing about. I said, but she does speak fluent French.
I do. That makes it kind of confusing, though. Mais oui.
Je parle français un petit peu.
See, in America, 7,500 francs is more than $100,000. Oui. I mean, in France, but in America, 7,500. Wait, 7,500. Never mind.
I'm sorry. I didn't follow.
That was a Groucho Marx thing that didn't work.
You love the Groucho.
So here's this is a show that came to me, and I want to just talk about it. It looks sort of interesting. I do not know this company, but it sounds interesting. It's a brand new company called Canopy Theater, and they are doing it in connection with La Sainte Theatre from Aix-en-Provence. Is that right?
Oui, bien sûr.
Anyway, they're doing a co-season with a Syrian playwright named Fares al-Zahabi, and it's called Maulana, and it is running for October 4th through October 7th at the Vortex. It sounds very interesting. It's a play that calls into question the religious ideologies and doctrines through the eyes of a young man named Abed. You can get more information about that at vortexrep.org.
That's pretty cool.
Also, the final weekend at Ground Floor Theater for Some Humans Were Harmed in the Making of This Show, which is quite entertaining.
I was
on a lot of different
levels, and they were. We had fun with them on when they were on too.
Anything else other than our shows that are here locally that we want to discuss before we move on to Today in Theater History?
Well, I'm going to bring it up because I feel like we're always talking about Steel Magnolias, and it is playing up in Round Rock. If you're not wanting to leave the Austin area, Sam Bass Community Theater is having that. It opens
right
this weekend.
I challenge you to find a weekend where Steel Magnolias is not playing somewhere Central Texas.
But it's like Con Air. Con Air is always on the movie channels, no matter when you're switching, it's always on. Oh, so
I don't know that
when
movie.
It's not playing, something's not
until
right in the
Christmas,
world.
When it becomes a Christmas story.
Yeah. Well, yes. Well, then it which goes to Die
never,
Hard.
Which I have never seen. All right, let's go to Today in Theater History.
Today in Theater History.
Today in Theater History.
What happened today?
Well, we're going to go all the way back to 1910.
Ooh, and Rebecca, was a very cold year.
It was indeed. Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm opened on Broadway.
Get out. Did it have fire and did it fail? It just had the name Rebecca in it.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
Get it?
I found
fire.
You. Okay. I got it. Here, we'll do this. So it set the standard for saccharine family fare, according to this. It ran 216 performances.
That's a pretty good run in 1910. Yeah.
Yep. In 1961, Miss Elaine Stritch stars as cruise director Mimi Paragon in a show by Noel Coward called Sail Away, which I had never heard of. Anybody else?
I did because I love me some Noel. But I'm just obsessed with Noel and I'm a weirdo.
She stops the show with 11 o'clock number, which is called Why Do the Wrong People Travel?
Yes.
And you're going to hear a little bit about that when we go off this. This is also the debut of Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. Anthony Newley starred in that.
What year?
And it was written, 1962. It was produced by David Merrick, who we talk about a lot in this on the show about the things he does, very much like Scott Rudin. Mm-hmm. He does like wacky things. In this case, they didn't get good reviews, so I'll just read this. When faced with mediocre New York Times review, he translated the critique into Greek and runs it in the show's printouts.
Oh,
oddly enough, I was produced in 1962, and there I also
go.
Received mediocre reviews.
I think you've gotten raves. In 1978, Henry Fonda made his last Broadway appearance.
Was it really that long ago?
Yeah, for First Monday in October.
Wow.
And then, this is an interesting thing. I did not know this. In 1995, Tommy Toon broke his foot for the second time in 2 years.
Ow.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing a show called Busker's Alley at the time. And this is during its tryouts in Tampa Bay. And two other people danced it for him and he sang it. And they got bad reviews. Mm-hmm. And they didn't come into New York because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
I know, you know my obsession with Tommy. Yeah. But yes, I remember.
So in 1999, Eve Ensler did her first vagina monologues.
Gosh, I can't believe it was that long ago.
I did not realize that Joe Mantello was the production supervisor.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
What doesn't Joe do?
It's true. And then in 2011, I don't know. Sorry, this is not. I had a happy voice, and it's not a happy thing. It's the anniversary of the death of David Mitchell, who was a set designer, and he did scenic design for Barnum and Annie.
I was like, he was the Annie man.
Yeah,
because the world needs a lot of Annie.
Yeah, so we're gonna.
I love her.
We're gonna take a little break. Let's listen to a little bit of Why the Wrong People Travel. Let's see if this works this time. It didn't. Mm-mm. I think I'm pressing the wrong button. I'm pretty sure it's operator error. Here we go.
Why do the wrong people?
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Shiro and Sheps. Sheps and Shiro.
Both of us. So we are now going to be talking to a lovely couple who are here from Zach Theater to talk about the show, the musical, who I believe won the Tony for Best Musical back in 2000 and whatever, right?
It did.
And from a movie of the same name called Once. And we have here Olivia Nice and Corbin Mayer. Hi, you guys.
Hello.
Now, y'all play guy and girl.
We sure do.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you for being on the show.
Glad to be here.
So tell folks about this show. What is it?
Once is a show about two people falling in love through the power of music and what happens as a direct result of that. The faith that they inspire within each other through the music that they create and the story that ensues. In the most technical terms, of course.
That was beautiful. It was as if you were reading it.
I was and just it, looking it at the co-ops,
though.
It
all starts in the streets of Dublin. A busker in the street, based on Glenn Hansard in real life.
Right.
He's out there playing what's going to be his final song. He's completely heartbroken, and all of these songs he's written are about his ex-girlfriend who's taken off to New York in pursuit of something better than being stuck with this guy. And right when he's about to give up, this Czech girl shows up and has an interest in his music. And over the next 5 days, just the adventure that they go on, with her falling in love with this music and him falling in love with her and then her falling in love with him and then the complications of life that happen
after
that.
It's a beautiful piece. Mm-hmm. And most of the actors also are also the orchestra, are they not?
Oh, indeed. All of them except for the little 7-year-old girls.
Okay. who is played by a wonderful young actress,
Vanessa
Huang, who is the daughter of
Juan Christine Huang,
who's done a really great job with her Color Arc Productions. So do you guys play instruments then as well?
We definitely do. I play piano.
I play guitar.
Okay, so the piano is sort of hard to walk around. You can't do choreography with the piano.
I'm sitting for most of the time when I play, but there's another cast member who plays and throws his leg up on it.
What I find amazing about the show, I don't know how Dave Stakely staged it, but the Broadway staging, the celloist,
yeah,
dances and plays the cello.
She does.
And y'all does that here as well, yes?
Absolutely.
That I found the most amazing thing.
Yeah. You know what's so funny? I find the cello one of the most fascinating instruments, too. That's so funny. I don't know.
And you know what? If you want to dance with the cello, there's a specific vest you wear that straps it to your body.
So it was, which I believe was designed for the show.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. And so, Corbin, I knew you played guitar ahead of time, but Olivia, piano is somewhat new to you, right?
It's actually not. My father, similar to Girl in the story, my father was a classical violinist and then symphony conductor. So I'd been playing piano since I was a little girl and kind of stepped away from it to pursue acting. And then when this story came around, I read it and I got, and like the first few pages, there's that line where she talks about her father being a violinist. And I was like, oh, well, better go back to the piano because I'm auditioning for this soon.
So how was that picking the piano back up again?
Oh, it's been wonderful. It's being in this show and being surrounded by all these musicians who all play multiple instruments. I'm inspired myself. I started learning the accordion, the ukulele, the guitar. That's all I do in my free time now.
In this particular production, would you describe the cast? I'm sure they're excellent as both musicians and actors, but I would assume that it might be difficult to find an actor that is very proficient in an instrument, but it might be easier to find a musician that can act. What's the, in this show, what's the breakdown of that?
Oh, I think roughly. That the casting did such a good job of finding mm-hmm. these people. I mean, some of these people are the most talented musicians I've ever met in my life, but also the acting is off the charts. I mean, people who've been on Broadway before. I mean, one our violinist, she plays with the Austin Opera. Yeah. She's a violinist for them. And it's just this mix of people who almost like were able to choose between whether or not to be professional actors or professional musicians.
Isn't that nice? That's the same problem
That's
I
so
have.
Cool.
It's true.
That's so really cool.
It was between radio and modeling, and I chose radio.
Did you?
Yes.
You played it. Don't you? Didn't you play an instrument too, though?
Not really. Well, I'm gonna say no. I do a mean chopsticks. chopsticks. And I can play the opening notes of "Stairway to Heaven" on the guitar.
Not the song I expected you to say. It kind of left you a little more for it.
There you go. So this is now playing at Zach. It's actually a relatively short run for Zach. It's only playing 3 or 4 weeks, I think.
No, it's playing for 5.
Okay. Until October 28th.
Yeah. So why do Austinites want to go see Once?
I think
Olivia always nods over to Corbin. You answer the hard way.
All right. Why do people want to? Well, in if I could say anything about the show and why people of Austin should see it is that it is a touching, heartwarming story that will not only inspire you to find faith and or find ways to chase after your passions and maybe reinvigorate a love for that, but also kind of make you think about people that you've met along the way in your life that have impacted it for the better and inspired you to either chase your dreams or not give up on them.
You never know what believing in somebody is going to do, not only for them, but for you as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a lovely piece. It's very intimate. And on that stage in Topfer, I'm sure, I haven't seen it yet, but I know that that stage lends itself to an intimacy, even though it's rather large. I think it's a beautiful stage to do that on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the sound is fantastic. You hear all the instruments and the music so well. This music that Marketa Irglova and Glenn Hansard have written is just...
Yeah, and people will recognize, and I keep forgetting the name of the most popular one, the...
Falling slowly. Yeah.
But people will recognize... not even theater people will recognize that song.
Yeah, well, you even played one of the songs from the show earlier on a little break. You played If You Want
and
Me.
We're going to hear it again. You are right.
I will say, typically when people know the show, if they've seen it in New York or saw the tour, they're used to the bar being on the stage, which Correct. Is not the case at Zach. And y'all are doing something really cool pre-show. Can you tell people about it? Because I have to tell you, everybody I know has seen it. That's like, they're so excited about this pre-show pubness.
Oh,
that
yeah.
is elsewhere.
Well, the show starts at 7:30 officially, but the real show begins at 6:45 when there's this pre-show that takes place in the front where there is a bar so you can drink your beverage of choice and listen to this mix of Irish and Czech music, both traditional and folk music. And then there's also a...
You don't have to say Irish and Czech. You can just say Chirish.
Oh, yeah.
Chirish.
Yeah, that's Chirish. The official name.
I like that.
It's true.
And there's also a Julian player, which is similar to a bagpipe, but you don't put your mouth on it. It's the first time I've ever seen this instrument.
Oh, yeah.
But it's
the
so
Irish
much music
version
for
of a bagpipe.
Minutes.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, very whimsical instrument, honestly.
I mean, does it have that ring, ring kind of sound to it? Because I don't like that.
It's more jaunty. It's like...
Yeah. So it's interesting. The lobby has been transformed into the Irish pub, which is... it's. You get immersed, right, when you walk into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a great take on that. That's fun. Not everybody wants to drink on stage.
No.
This way you can drink in the audience and have kind of anonymity as you're getting plastered before the show.
Most of us prefer to drink backstage.
I just prefer to drink. So, and to what does the title refer? Hmm. Oh, boy, stumped ya. Do you not know?
It could mean a bunch of different things, depending on, like, well, one of the principal factors in the whole relationship that develops throughout the story is that it's a chance encounter. Like, someone you meet in your life, maybe you'll never see them again, but they can have a profound impact on you through meeting them once, so to speak.
Got it. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Can only happen one time. Well, great. Well, thank you guys for coming on. I think Nicole mentioned you're playing through the 28th. Where can folks go to get more information?
You can go to a Facebook page, Zach Theater or stuff, or
ZachTheater.org.
Yeah,
ZachTheater.org.
ZachTheater.org.
Yeah. And it's playing at the top for theater, which is just a lovely theater. Well, thank you guys for coming on Offstage and on the Air. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, y'all, some of us can join us backstage.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds good.
All right, that was Olivia Nice and Corbin Mayer of Zach Theater's production of Once, playing now through October 28th at the Top for Theater. For more information, zachtheater.org, and you can listen to this again if you want me, if it works.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, the show's almost over, and I finally figured out how to work the buttons.
Oh, well, you know.
Yeah. So maybe.
Now you got to play Push the Button from Color Purple.
Yes, you can. Push the Button.
Push the button.
Well, this was a great little week. It was a little challenging with the president coming on earlier on. But,
well,
you know
what? We made it work.
What the heck? Here we go.
We rolled with it.
That's true. We shoot from the hip here on Offstage. And
we
on
show
the
how the sausage is made.
We do indeed.
Yes.
But we did go through another week of this. I'm excited about all the things and the goings on here around Austin. And Broadway is like gearing up for some really good stuff.
I know.
We didn't talk about Tootsie, which had its opening in Chicago, and Nick Mayo was there.
Yeah, we're gonna try to get Nick Mayo to call in next Wednesday, right, so we get his.
Love,
I don't like holding the mail, by the way.
Love song to Tootsie in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Everybody's loving it. Fontino Santana. Holy Vesemir. He got amazing notices.
Yes.
Looking forward, and it's a great team. Tony Yez back. Directed by Baron von Stupenaser. No, what's his name? It's not Ivo van Hoven. It's anyway.
I like Baron von Stupenheiser.
Looks really good. Oh my
Seems
god.
Seems related to Lily von Stupp, perhaps.
It could be Lily von Stupp. But anyway, that looks really, really good. And I'm sorry we didn't get time to talk about it. But it's getting really, really good notices in Chicago. And it's looking like that's gonna be the one big musical that comes in this year. Although we have of course, King Kong.
I was just about to say, hurrah! Don't come on.
King Kong will not win.
It will not win. But it's not about the show or the music. It's about the animatronic puppet.
Right, but I'm talking about the Tonys.
But it's about the puppet.
But there's a possibility that
the puppet could win.
Oh my God!
All right, won before.
Go to offstageandonair.com, and then you can sign up to get our show right in your mailbox. If you're listening to us on the terrestrial radio, you'll stand by for Austin Monitor News. If you're listening on the podcast, stick around. We're going to go backstage and talk to our guests back there. And you can like us on Facebook and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, make sure you leave a comment and say awesome we are.
We're going to go out hearing a little bit of my dear friend, Laura Benanti, singing about a frozen dessert treat.
From one of my favorite musicals.
From She Loves Me.
I know.
Ice cream, he brought me ice cream, vanilla ice cream, imagine that, ice cream, and for the first time, we were together, without a spat, friendly, he was so friendly, that isn't like him, I'm simply stunned.
Well, the curtain has just come down on I Speak Another Language, the musical. The story of someone who does not speak another language, but pretends to. And everybody laughs at him behind his back.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the end of the story.
Not nice.
Anyway, curtains come down. We've all come outside the stage door. We're out here in the parking lot next to the dumpsters, standing in puddles of unnamed liquid. But here we are. And we have everybody from the show earlier is back here joining us. So let's just say hello to everybody. Chris Casey, buenos dias.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, Katie Thompson.
Hello.
We have Olivia Nice.
Hello.
Bonjour. We have Corbin Mayer.
Hello.
Mazel tov. And we have Robert Stevens.
Hola, amiga.
Howdy.
I thought you were going to whip out a konnichiwa at some point.
No, I wasn't going to say konnichiwa. Didn't go there.
No, you didn't.
Because I didn't think of it. Can we go? Let's just retake that and do it all over again. Well, we had a great show, and this is where we learn a little bit about you. And Olivia, I want to pick on you first.
Sure, yeah.
Because I notice a little bit of an accent, but I can't place it.
Oh, yeah, that's that exotic Sacramento, California for you.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I swear, do other people say
I
that?
I get that all the time.
There's something in there.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. I think it's a light speech impediment or something. I cannot place it.
But I'm not the only one to say that.
You're not the only one. And even people in my cast are like, what do you mean? Where are you from?
The funny thing is I don't hear it now. And I didn't hear it before, but when we were on the air, I did hear it.
What?
It's crazy.
Oh, maybe it's those headphones. No, I don't know. It's the headphones.
Okay, but you're from Sacramento, California.
I'm from
right
Sacramento.
In the
middle. Yeah, have you seen that Ladybird movie?
I have.
That's my high school.
Really?
That's my experience.
Oh, I
on
loved
screen.
That movie.
Yeah, I had that pink that cast movie. And everything. That's I bought good. I bought my prom dress from that thrift town.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Wow, did you have the same discussion with your mother?
I threw myself out.
Is
of
your
car.
Mother Allison Janney?
Yeah. I think I should sue somebody.
That's amazing.
Oh my gosh, that was good, Lisa.
So you grew up in Sacramento all
I
the way
did,
through
yeah.
high school.
Yes, yes, yes.
She said, I'm thrilled to be.
Nobody from Sacramento is happy about it.
I love Sacramento.
I've not been to Sacramento, but I've been to that area in California mm-hmm. a little bit. This is the
geographical.
Moving. And it was quite beautiful.
Oh, no, I
really
love
Sacramento. Yeah. He loves it. Mm-hmm.
Did you do theater in Sacramento?
I did. I mean, I was more into swimming and.
What was your stroke?
Butterfly.
Oh, that's
get out of town.
This time.
My brother's stroke was butterfly.
Really?
That's the one. I grew up a family of swimmers, and that's the one stroke I could not. I
Me
couldn't
neither.
Get the flutter kick.
Me neither.
Could never get the flutter kick. Still can't.
Me neither.
I was on a swim team, and I ended up doing it all the time because I was the chubby kid who couldn't go fast, but I had a lot of endurance.
So, what was your stroke?
Butterfly? Yeah.
Really? Wow. Two butterflies. Like, that was the one
yeah,
I
was swim
and
medley,
team and good.
And I do
butterfly,
no
way.
Yeah, my brother's was the IM.
Nobody else could last through a full. Couple of laps of the butterfly.
Okay, I don't see. So you would think as you just said, you were not the smallest of people. You would think that would work against you, not for you.
No, it made me buoyant, so it was less happening.
So, oh, you didn't kick. So who else was swimmers here in this room?
I was.
I knew how to swim.
Oh well, that counts.
You knew right? past tense.
His
yeah.
his stroke is the dog paddle.
Yeah.
Well, I know you didn't ask, but mine was backstroke and freestyle.
Was it?
Yep. Mm-hmm. But here's an interesting thing. I'm guessing this is all about swimming, not about theater. But I'm guessing we come from different generations. When I was swimming, when you swam the best breaststroke, you would be disqualified if your head went underwater. And now that's like breaststroke is practically all underwater. But we had to keep our heads above
the
waterline.
Yeah, we did. You know what?
I remember that
did
too.
That too. Yeah. Did you? So I guess you are of the next generation because she's looking at
she's
us
like,
we're crazy.
What? That's crazy. So what? How did you get into theater then?
Well, I did like little local commercials and stuff as a kid.
Did you?
And then I don't know. Just one day I came home from swim practice and I was like, I can't be in that pool anymore. I got to be on the stage.
Well, how'd you get? So commercials are even in local commercials are sort of very specific and not easy to get. How'd you find yourself doing commercials?
Right. Well, I mentioned on the last recording we just did in the other room.
I didn't pay attention.
My dad was a symphony conductor. My mom was a TV news reporter.
Oh, like you didn't mention that part.
Yeah. And so I spent a lot of time at the film station and I don't know. Just
do you remember your first commercial? Do you remember any of those lines?
I was a little bit, a little wee lass. I would serve cookies to these stuffed animals and a tea party, and it was the Sacramento cookie, the Sacramento steak cookie.
Anybody else do child commercials?
No.
Anybody? Okay.
I was on the air in Trinidad doing Cinderella with my elementary school class.
Like Trinidad the Island,
Trinidad the Island.
Is that where you grew up?
I spent a year there as a child. But they had so little programming on the show that they actually went to my elementary school and said, will you come and perform your school play on the air?
There you go.
And that's what an experience for a child, though.
And
that's
and
really
I
cool.
had a monologue. I was the town crier. I was the one that...
Do you remember any of the lines?
Put that in your reel.
Oh, yes, is about as much as I remember.
Okay. So, it's a whole nother. There's a controversy about the pronunciation oh yes, or oye, oye, but we'll not go into that because
in
it's
Trinidad,
just too.
We pronounce it oh yes.
Oh yes. Why were you in Trinidad?
My dad was in oil.
Oh, okay.
So
my dad was in oil too, but
so
that was a whole different
up
story.
In Nigeria, Trinidad, the Netherlands.
Wow. Yeah. Did not know that about you, Robert Stevens.
Yeah. I knew Netherlands, but I didn't know Trinidad.
Well, Netherlands is obvious because my mother's Dutch, but. Which is, kind of, well, for all of you that are watching me here on radio, I have very Dutch features.
Yeah, and if you've ever looked at his butt, we have to have a fake butt for him on stage for his actual role because it is very
because
flat.
I have a little
is
Dutch
that a Dutch
butt.
Thing?
Yeah, Dutch
no,
people
that,
have flat
No, that
butts.
Is not true. My best friend I grew up with, Robin Letitia Mechtjek Smulders, she and her entire family, they're all like models and stuff, and they have a butt I still wish I had, especially at this
age.
Yeah,
my butt's not flat. It's
multiple
little
kids.
It's just tiny. And I have the same thing. So.
It's not bit. It's... Yeah, as big as I've ever gotten, that part of me has never gotten big.
Yeah.
We
just went
off
the rails.
That's all I was going to say.
So, yeah, so butts and swimming and everything. So, well, that's awesome. So, back to you. So, we're going to go. We're not. Yeah. No, we don't have to. We're okay. We can go anywhere
we're
we want.
Going
there are
freestyle
no rules here.
Oh,
which is why I like it better.
That was butterfly.
Because we don't have a whole bunch of time back here, and there's a lot of us. But just real quickly, what was the first show you did, Olivia?
Oh, the first thing that came to mind was Santa Comes to Mexico. School play.
That is a great play. Why don't we have that one here?
I don't know. They haven't picked it up for Broadway yet.
And I understand you are fluent in French.
That's right.
May we? And how? Why? How did that happen?
Well, after I finished Sacramento, my time there, I went to Princeton. And I,
of course.
I got a certificate in French, and I worked there for a lot of summers. I was a roadie for a traveling music festival, and I was a tour guide in a chateau.
And where in France?
In Dordogne, it's a couple hours from Bordeaux, and then in Basse Normandy in the north.
Oh wow. Yeah, like all of those places.
Is that where Nantes? Is that Normandy? Do you know Nantes? N-A-N-T-E.
I didn't spend any time there.
All right, never
so
mind.
I don't want to.
Oh God! What was I going to say? Forgot it. Lost it.
They'll come back to you.
Okay, let's come over here to my left and Katie Thompson, director of the Barensman Show. Where are you from?
So I'm actually from Stephenville, which is in Texas.
I know.
Small.
Yeah. You're the second person in 2 days to talk to me about growing up in Stephenville.
I've just been to Stephenville a lot lately. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And when did you start? And are you a performer as well, or just a director?
Yeah. So I do. This is actually my first time directing. I do performance. I also costume the show. I also do makeup. I mean, I do. All
so you do everything.
Music.
You're a Renaissance woman.
You exactly. like to wear the hats.
One. I also made hats. So for the show,
you were a milliner.
Yes. So
that's,
for the show,
badass.
Three of us learned millinery to make hats for everybody in the show. So it was actually really fun to learn like a new fun skill. That's like
it's
milliners
are
coming back. It's
a thing now.
Like it used to be a dying job, and it's coming back, and it's so fascinating.
It's rare really that anybody in a Barensman show doesn't do multiple things because of the spirit of the company. Basically, you're expected to do like I've sewn, and God knows I'm not a good sewer, but. You know, if there were seams that didn't need to be seen, I could do that. I've built sets.
Yeah, you're actually really good with building sets and stuff.
Yeah, and in this show, I'm also the fight captain, so. Yeah.
Do we have to salute you?
Only if you want to.
Yeah. So
no, but a gratuity would be acceptable.
You got it. So what brought you into theater? Where how did that happen?
So actually, I moved to Austin because I was going to school at Texas State. And this person that I talked about on the show actually sent an email and was looking for the worst lover in the world for a show. And my boyfriend of the time was, in fact, the worst lover in the world. So I was like, hey, you should audition.
Oh I wish I had a picture of Olivia's face. Her head whipped around and her mouth dropped like, what?
Yeah. So I was like, you should audition. And so he actually did. And so Robert and I actually had the same first show at the Barron's End. We were in The Body 5, which Casey directed. And it was...
The Body or The Body?
Body.
B-A-W-D-Y.
Got it. Because someone came to one of our shows and they said, oh, you put like the raunch back in Shakespeare. And he was like, well, of course we did. Like, that's totally period for that to be like that. So he made an entire show of the tales from Chaucer and from the Decameron that you don't get to read in high school. And that's how Robert and I got our start. So my very first thing in theater is I went to someone's house that I'd never met before. And he said, I need you, as we're walking in, he's like, we're doing some set painting. I want this to be St. Basil's meets the Taj Mahal. And then he moves out of the way, and there are three phallic-shaped objects that I'm going to paint. And one of them is 3 feet tall, one of them is 4 feet tall, one of them is 6 feet tall. And he's just like, okay, and here's some paint, bye, and like walks off. That's what I did.
And those were actually my design, because that was the first thing he said. Can you draw a cityscape, but can you make it look like genitalia.
Yeah. And so that was actually the first thing.
We really have gone all over the map.
It was that kind of show. Yeah. And that's how Casey and I met. We both did Austin Shakespeare, Spooky Shakespeare.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And we were both sitting backstage, and as people were doing Shakespeare, we would point out all the body jokes in Shakespeare. And then he learned that I was working on my degree in medieval literature, and he's like, oh, I'm about to direct this show. You have to come be in it.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. What goes around comes around. Well, Casey, where are you from?
Chris.
Sorry, I'm calling you by your last name.
I was like, Chris Casey.
You just said Casey, and so Chris.
Well, it's Casey Weed and Chris Casey.
Yeah, someone actually thought Casey Weed and I were brothers because of the name, because, you know, whatever.
Okay.
But I was born and raised in Austin, Texas.
Part of that place. What high school?
Austin High.
Okay.
And
It's here or the old place where it's now?
Where it's here. Okay. Although my mom went to the old place.
Okay. Oh, yep. You're like several generations then.
I'm like six or seven.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've been around a while, and I've got family. I've got like 80 people that I'm related to that I know that I could visit on a day trip.
Cool. Have you been doing
all that close? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you been doing theater?
I've been doing theater for about 6 years. Mm-hmm. My first show was The Alchemist with the Berensman, which Casey Weed also directed, and my oldest daughter stage managed.
And your oldest daughter is involved in this show as well.
No, that's my youngest daughter.
The youngest daughter.
He just pulls one out
His wife is the producer.
Correct. So it's a theater is very much a family affair. My kids were doing theater since they were like 2 or 3, and they sort of gradually, you know, got me more and more involved until The Alchemist came up.
Do you have a 6-year-old boy by any chance?
I don't. But my brother has 3.
Looking for
so
a 6 to 8 year old.
If you need
he
one.
Has 3 6-year-old boys?
Well, he has 1 6 and 2 5s.
Oh, yeah. That's a handful. Yeah.
That's 16.
Yeah.
It's so true. You know.
She's looking for fun homes. So you can
either draw or stand at that point.
Right.
If you're the dealer, you have
to
draw.
I got it. I'm with you.
I think he wants to fold, actually. But
So one of the things we didn't say when we talked to Olivia, you do not live here locally currently.
No, I technically have an apartment in New York City.
Technically.
It's been a while since I've been there.
Really? Do you technically pay New York rent?
I have a subletter that technically pays my rent for me.
So you're traveling a lot doing shows?
Yeah.
Awesome, good for you.
Thank you.
And Corbin, what about you? Are you local here, or are you?
I'm based out of New York. I'm from Atlanta originally, but I've been living in New York for the past few years.
Are you in Manhattan as well?
I am.
Are you in Brooklyn?
I am not in Brooklyn. Good. I'm at the very top of Manhattan in a little neighborhood called Inwood that touches
Inwood
shoulders.
Quite well.
Yeah.
So actually, between the three of us, because we were talking, Olivia lives on 149th.
Amazing memory. Yeah.
And I lived on 162nd. And you're living at what number are you near?
207th, baby.
207th. And Manhattan goes up to 213, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, but you're close to the Cloisters.
You are.
Oh, yeah.
Fort Tryon Park is my favorite.
So you've got Uptown covered between you.
Yeah. It's 100%. That's the last subway stop when you get off at Fort Tryon, that the little elevator man is still there to take you up the elevator. Mm-hmm. And then you get out and... Oh, Cloisters is my favorite museum. Mm-hmm.
I recently went and saw the Met Gala's Heavenly Bodies exhibit that was there at the Cloisters before I came here to do the show. And it was just absolutely fantastic.
It's just beautiful. So you grew up in Atlanta. What brought you to New York?
Pursuing the dream, really.
Okay. Did you do theater in Atlanta?
I have done a variety of film and extras projects when I was down in Atlanta to try and gain some credits back in the day, including when I was playing a special operations kind of guy for... This little trilogy of things involving Shailene Woodley called Allegiant. And I played this special ops guy, and they made a costume for me entirely out of tarp in 103-degree weather. They had to put ice packs around our neck and water cool us in between shots because we had to run up a hill with these rubber guns. And every time Miles Teller would make a joke or goof off, we'd have to run back down the hill and run back up again. I loved my hazard pay for that. But yeah, I've done some stuff in Atlanta.
Did you do theater? I mean, Alliance Theater has come up. There's so much stuff that originates at the Alliance.
I've seen a couple Alliance Theater productions, but I haven't had the privilege of working there.
I don't know if that counts as working there.
Well, you know, maybe some laid down the road, I'd love to do that.
Yeah. I was like, you got to have goals and things so you went on your...
Sorry.
Later.
You went straight from Atlanta to NYC.
Well, I studied music theater at Elon University in North Carolina, and I had a really good time doing that. And then I went back down to Atlanta, sold my car, got a job as a janitor to save up some money, and then I moved to New York.
Mazel tov.
So yeah. You know your university has been voted in the last year the top one of the top 10 theater programs.
Show enough.
I know, and I thought of you, and I was like, whoa, that's a little school. It's doing well.
Yeah,
so.
I'm really grateful to Elon. It was a good time, and I learned a lot, which I think is all anyone can really ask for secondary education.
So, musical theater background. Olivia, you musical theater background as well?
I studied religion in college.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you going to go into in some sort of theological pursuit?
No, I just wanted to understand how people come to see the world and where they fit in it, and I think that all plays into
praise Jesus
theater.
Coming from the Jewish girl here.
So, Katie, did you hear that part about cooling and costumes?
I don't know what you're talking about, because cooling and costumes is not period, Robert.
Neither are costumes made entirely of tarp.
Well, that's true. I was going to say.
I have a fat suit on, and then about two or three layers of Elizabethan costuming.
Well, I will tell you this in Robert Stevens' defense. The climate here in Texas is not the same as it was in England.
Yeah.
No. It's cold and clammy there, so you'd be more comfortable there. So I think some ice packs.
It's hot and humid. I got a little faint, actually, during daytime rehearsals.
Well, and it's been extra humid, like, while we've been doing rehearsals.
It has been. We've put in a little extra humid. Yeah. So,
well, and we built in, there's actually a part of the scene. So we have tavern tables that we've built on the side of the stage so that people can sit there and interact with our actors. And Robert, we've actually built in, there's a part where he covers himself with alcohol, well, fake alcohol. And so he can cool off.
There you go.
And I provide cooling for the patrons by doing a spectacular spit take.
Lovely.
That creates a soothing mist that engulfs the whole tavern area.
You can never get enough spit takes in the world. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, we are plumb out of time. We have to leave the backstage area and go back and turn off all the lights in the theater.
Get out of those puddles.
Anybody have any wonderful closing words they want to end with? Anything?
I just want to tell a quick story. Casey Weed played Falstaff in a piece that we took from Henry IV Part II and put on the beginning of Henry V. I was in that scene as Pistol. Now we've taken that scene and put it on the end of Henry IV Part I, and I'm playing Falstaff.
There you go.
Yep. And I was there. I was Nim.
It's an eerie experience.
Turning it around.
It is. We turn everything around here. Well, thank you guys for joining us back here.
Thank you for having us.
And Mazel Tov, and praise Jesus, and... Shalom Aleichem and E-I-E-I-O.
And Allah Akbar.
Bye, everybody.
Ice cream. He brought me ice cream. Vanilla ice cream. Imagine that. Ice cream. And for the first time, we were together without a spat. Friendly. He was so friendly. That isn't like